listening to TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Now, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And returning with me today is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. It's going to be great to have him back on. The story behind this is recently I did a show and I also did an article on this Deagle.com website, which talked about all this population reduction, and hardest hit was America, I think, going down to 61 million population by 2025, I think it was an 81% drop. And as previous listeners, long-time listeners, will be aware who listened to Dr. Karlstrom before on the show, he's got a great knowledge in gang stalking and electronic weapons, and he feels that he can offer a great deal of input into this. So I'm going to bring him up right now. Great to have you back. Dr. Karlstrom, are you with me?
Yes, Andy, it's very nice to be talking to you. You can hear me all right?
Yeah, you're coming through fine.
Good. I'm talking to you from La Paz, Mexico, in the south part of Baja, California, and we have weak reception here with Wi-Fi, but I think it's going to be fine. Now, I'd like to share, if I could, with you this morning, Andy, my latest kind of scenario hypothesis to explain the phenomenon of gang stalking, organized stalking. I have a website, gang stalking mind control cults.com, which I've been working on pretty hard since last fall. And this website actually just grew out of my 911nwo.com website, which I've been working on since, oh gosh, you know, just a few years after 9/11 itself. So I've been working, and then I've also got my naturalclimatechange.org website, as well as San Luis Valley waterwatch.com website, as well as my musical website, which is the only one I actually charge anything for or sell anything on, and that's erickarlstrom.com. But you know, the thrust of my research lately is to try to understand this thing called organized stalking. And I'd like to share with you, if I could, a scenario. I'm working on an article that I'm always posting articles on my gang stalking or 9/11 websites now. And here's let me just read this, and then we can use this hopefully as a kind of a launch point. Now, just before I jump in, remember the scene in 1984 by George Orwell, Eric Blair, MI6 guy, wherein the hero of the book, Winston Smith, is being tortured by O'Brien. And O'Brien says, okay, what's two and two? And he says, four. And zap, you know, he gets him with electrodes in his brain and, you know, tortures him. And he's, okay, now what's two and two? And he says, well, anything you want, you know. Well, I think we're in that world in the sense that we're being fed enormous, huge lies, which is why I've gone to the trouble of making my 9/11 and natural climate change website. We're in a network of huge lies. And, of course, if you're willing to agree that 2 plus 2 equals 6 or 10 or whatever Big Brother wants you to say, then you're fairly defenseless against reality. So my whole thrust has been to try to, you know, peel back the cover stories of the intelligence agencies who, of course, work for the banking elite. And your book is very pertinent on this, The Synagogue of Satan. But let me just go into this scenario, and then we'll talk about it. My research to date suggests that this organized gang stalking program, which is global, is, quote, a vital component of the national security establishment's fraudulent multi-trillion dollar, quote, global war on terrorism, which has been and is being used to justify prosecuting wars against and or destabilizing some 140 sovereign nations, as well as the targeting, torture, and terrorizing of innocent citizens, civilians at home and abroad, who have been placed on terrorism watch lists and so designated as domestic enemies of the state. Number two, this program is coordinated and spearheaded in the United States, by the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force Fusion Centers, in cooperation with the various military and intelligence agencies and their private sector surrogates, of which there are many, the corporatocracy. Three, this program is part of the military's ongoing implementation of their doctrine, and this you can find many, many documents, military documents and think tank documents, about fourth-generation warfare, or 4GW. also known as unconventional warfare, irregular warfare, asymmetrical warfare, civil military operations other than war, peace operations, psychological warfare, political warfare, information warfare, that's a big one, low-intensity conflict, effects-based operations, and network-centric warfare. Okay, that's the stuff the military writes about. And if you want to find out about this, get Mark M. Rich's book, New World War, Revolutionary Methods for Political Control. Or also get Marshall Thomas's Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. And these guys lay it out. Okay, number four, this program is unconstitutional, illegal, immoral, and criminal in all aspects. The program degrades all who are involved in it. Even as it methodically and slowly tortures and destroys its targets, it criminalizes and debases those who carry it out. This current quote-unquote global Phoenix program, and we can talk about the Phoenix program, the first one in Vietnam, which was against the civilian infrastructure of the Viet Cong enemy. This global Phoenix program is the modern version of earlier U.S. military intelligence and police programs that covertly targeted civilian dissidents, quote-unquote. These include the FBI's COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program of the 50s, 60s, 70s, the CIA's Phoenix and Chaos programs of the 60s. And this was against the civilian infrastructure, not only in Vietnam, but in the United States, against the people protesting the Vietnam War, of whom I was one, by the way. I was in college at that time. And the U.S. military's Operation Garden Plot, Cable Splicer 1, 2, and 3, and Readiness Exercise, or REX 84. And I talked about this with Kev Baker recently. And so people can listen to that interview or go on my website. I've got a big posting about the timeline of events 59 through the present that discusses Operation Garden Plot, Cable Splicer 1, 2, 3, and REX 84. The current globalized version of the CIA's Phoenix program that we have now as gang stalking incorporates many of the techniques and methods used in these previous programs. Evidence indicates that the organized stalking, military, civil operations are designed to, the purpose is, covertly neutralize, degrade and or destroy designated political enemies of the state labeled, quote, potential terrorist threats and put on the terrorism watch list, etc., who are considered opponents or potential opponents or those who might support opponents or potential opponents of the New World Order superstate. The one world government, one world religion we've been talking about for a long, long time, which has now grasped the United States and various other powerful countries in its talons, as well as others who are also placed on terrorism watch lists. The program inflicts secret, no-touch torture on innocent civilians in order to isolate and neutralize individuals and groups who are designated or have been considered not ideologically assimilated, that was the term they used in the Phoenix program, and who are deemed capable of influencing public opinion and or inspiring or leading opposition movements against the, guess what, New World Order. Also, another goal is to provide unwitting and non-consensual test subjects. This would include the TIs and the TAs, the target individuals and targeted audiences, for the secret research and development of directed energy weapons, electronic weapons, psychotronic weapons, mind control, and remote neural monitoring technologies. Now, in this new war, we have new weapons, and these are invisible weapons. And, of course, we talked about this last time, Andy. We talked about the revolution in military affairs that people in the United States military were writing about back in the 90s and even 80s. And that they have secret weapons that they're rolling out now. And these we'll talk about. These are the psychotronic directed energy weapons that most people don't know. They can't see them. They don't know anything about them. Thus, targeted individuals then, quote-unquote TIs, are non-consenting subjects of terminal experiments conducted by U.S. military intelligence in cooperation with researchers in some 114 universities, as well as many corporations. Now, I have an article that somebody, a TI, sent me recently, that written by someone from a university who's in the cognitive studies department, and he talks about that, the 114 universities that are all ganged up with the military-industrial complex to do these experiments on non-consenting individuals. One may also speculate that another goal of this program is to form and develop a secret civilian military police corporate army, for the New World Order, the UN, whatever, that could be deployed to quell insurrections if and when martial law is imposed in the future. Okay, we're almost done here, and then we can talk. The current worldwide organized stocking program, and this is really an inadequate name because we're talking about the New World War here, fourth generation warfare, and all those other names, is characterized by a series of protocols by which it can be recognized and understood. These are, first, the program is executed via coordination of multiple agencies and personnel, which are termed the interagency in the United States, you know, all the different components of this thing, and the multinational force elsewhere in the world. Number two, they use psychological operations, including mind control and things that were developed at the Tavistock Institute and by the CIA and the MK Ultra and by the Nazis in the concentration camp, and as well as the psychological profiling and destruction of targeted individuals and groups. Number three, and most perhaps most important, is the use of directed energy weapons, electronic warfare, for surveillance and attack of targets, electronic attack. This includes remote neural manipulation and monitoring involving brain implants and computer brain interface technology used to control, modify, hinder, and monitor the behavior of targeted individuals. And the last one here, which I think is certainly controversial, but you and I will quickly understand its significance. The use of satanic scripts or the actual use of the occult. In other words, there is a satanic component to this, basically because it's to bring in the satanic New World Order that you and I have researched. Let me just almost finish. For those who are TIs, please read the book 1996 by Gloria Naylor, a black author who wrote a brilliant fictionalized account that documents her first year of targeting, well, in 1996. In this book, she exposes many of the techniques and technologies being deployed against her, as well as the identities of her torturers. Please read this book. After some 20 years of sustained targeting, harassment, and torture, Gloria Naylor died of a heart attack, probably electronically induced, last year, 2016. It is the opinion of this writer that hundreds, perhaps thousands of individuals were involved in the targeting, tracking, torture, and murder of Gloria Naylor in particular, and that many thousands, probably millions, are involved in the systematic torture and murder of hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of other targeted individuals worldwide. The U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence stipulate that government is the servant to the people, not the master. All American politicians, soldiers, and police swear an oath to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution and the American people. Government officials who treat American citizens as, quote, the enemy and who affect the systematic slaughter of their fellow citizens are guilty of the highest form of treason. In a nation governed by the rule of law, all criminal gang-stalking perpetrators, and I spell traitors, T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, would be tried, court-martialed, and punished for their complicity in these murders. Perhaps by restoring the rule of law, we can legally now and legitimately finally fill America's 800-plus FEMA internment camps with the criminal cabal now running the United States of America and their many minions. I'll stop there. This has come to me, you know, over the last week, Andy, and I know it's a mouthful, but I think this organized stalking thing, you know, is huge. And I think what we're looking at is the forced, covert implementation of the Jewish world order, again, the synagogue of Satan. Let me just read what I know your friend is Tex Mars. Tex Mars says this in his book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. America is in dire jeopardy, for we find ourselves now gripped tightly in the jaws of the serpent. Well, to explain to you the seriousness of our current dilemma, I declare to you the three key truths, and I must acknowledge if we are to save ourselves, our loved ones, and our nation. You and I must acknowledge truth. The Jews and the Jewish nation are in bondage and are under the control of their God. Their God is without question Satan, the devil, and serpent of perdition. Truth. The Jews, like termites from hell, have undermined and eventually have destroyed every nation in which they resided and acquired dominance. Truth. The Jews have now gained the upper hand in American politics and culture, and our nation is now suffering the painful parasite-infested process of unholy destruction. The history of Great Britain, Germany, Russia, Poland, and former Soviet republics and satellites, and now the United States, demonstrates that what I declare here is true. Never have the Jews as a people peacefully assimilated. Inevitably, they remain a separate Jewish nation, a people of the holy serpent, alien and foreign to the nation in which they reside and wherever they exist, the Jews' devilish religion, toxin-producing culture, and hatred of other races and nationality drives them to act as destroyers. The destroyer, slowly and inexorably, the Jewish minority in America has, through stealth, deceit, cunning, and treachery, burrowed like parasitic termites into the muscle and sinew of society. Their lobby and pressure groups, the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, and the American Jewish Committee, AJC, and many others, have bought, bribed, threatened, or otherwise manipulated our Congress. The presidency also is now under their bulging influence. Our entertainment industry is thoroughly Jewish and sickeningly satanic. Our media is controlled by the Jewish elite and used as a weapon to destroy the patriotic opposition. The Zionist-controlled judiciary spits on our Constitution and makes a mockery of our traditions. The education establishment is now under the Jewish thumb, and our universities and public schools have become satanic mills disparaging America's once illustrious history, desecrating our nation's Gentile founders by branding them, quote-unquote, dead white men, and ridiculing and denigrating our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. Even America's health system is being ravaged. Socialist principles, the Jewish death machine, are now to be implemented in hospitals, medical clinics, and in doctors' offices. And here he talks about the Big Brother police state has become a work of Luciferian art, as Israeli advisors, quote-unquote, are called upon and paid billions of taxpayer dollars to set up new high-tech systems of surveillance and control. The evidence points to actual gulag concentration camps built and readied in which we who dare to oppose this radical Leninist transformation of society will be herded like cattle into pens. After all, the Jews' holy book, the Talmud, counts us as the goyim, quote-unquote, cattle, fit only for blood and slaughter. You know all this stuff now better than I. And he wrote the book, Synagogue of Satan, and have given the history. And it's interesting that the introduction is by the Barnes Review. I have another book here, The New Babylon, Those Who Reign Supreme, a panoramic overview of the historical, religious, and economic origins of the New World Order by Michael Collins Piper, and the subtitle, Inside the Rothschild Emperor, The Modern Day Pharisees. I could go on and on and on. He makes the same points that this New World Order is basically based on the Jewish holy book, the Talmud, which is the Babylonian Talmud, which is, is about as satanic as you can get. And that's what's driving this thing. And now what we have is torture for the masses, no-touch torture with electronic warfare, combined with PSYOP and the interagency and a satanic component. So I'll stop there, Andy, and please jump in.
Thank you, Eric. No, that was an excellent presentation there. Really enjoyed listening to that and what you ran through. A couple of things I'll raise. I actually did a show with Tex Mars on his book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, and people can find that in my archives of the 2016 shows. It's show number 115 that went out on July the 11th, 2016. So just go through the list. If you go to my website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, hover your mouse over the radio shows, drop down list, click on the one for 2016 shows. I think it's second in the list, and then you'll find it in there. And the show today, the one thing that came to mind when you were going through at the start of your presentation there was this site, Deagle.com. It refers to itself as a guide to military equipment and civil aviation. Now, military equipment would include all these electronic weapons that you know that they have, and this could give some indication of how they've come to the projected figures that they've come to. What would you have to say about that?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure I understood what you said. Could you run that through real quick, Andy? There's something on a Deagle.com site that talks about this, but I'm not sure exactly what it was.
Well, what it was the projected population reductions for certain countries, primarily America was going to reduce in population from 321 million to 61 million by 2025, a drop of 81%. And the UK, I think, goes down about 70%. And the reason that I raised that, and I actually did a show with this on this show 347 with Mike Walsh that went out in May last month, so not so long ago. So I go into detail in that with Mike. But what we were trying to establish, and I think the real interest in this is who is behind this group Deagle.com that comes out with these population reductions or forecasts. They call them a forecast. And where you've got the site, their little logo, it just says home and then dash guide to military equipment and civil aviation. So you've got a website that specialises in military equipment basically telling us that the United States population is going to go down by 81% by 2025. And on their page, they say, oh, we've got this figure, these figures from UN documents, all sorts of different things that they've got them from, and there are projections, etc. But we know that these Jews, they have this way of doing things where if they can tell you what they're going to do in the most obscure of places, then they're okay with their God. Because they've told you and it's up to you to find it. Have you ever heard
that's
that?
That's right.
Yeah. And so that's what I think that this could be. And this is why it's great to have you back on, because, of course, you've already run through the ways in which they would do it. I think that's what we're really interested in, is what could they use that would basically wipe out 81% of the population in the next 8 years? And can you run through some of these sort of weapons?
This is a real happy subject you and I have here.
Well,
I think, you know, forewarned is forearmed, and the truth, 2 plus 2 is very important. You know, we have to find the right answer for, we can't keep believing in this, you know, nonsense about the global war on terror, which is entirely contrived to take the place of the war on communism, which served the United States military-industrial complex, you know, since between World War II and the end of the Cold War in 1989, and the military-industrial complex spent, you know, $9 trillion. That was the engine of the American economy with this great boogeyman enemy, communism. Well, of course, when the wall came down, they had to find a new enemy boogeyman to justify, you know, continual spending on the military-industrial complex, and so they came up. I'm sure the CIA and others came up with the concept of terrorism, and you know, they thought about this for a long time because, hey, the terrorists are everywhere, they're nowhere, you know, they're not, you know, they're in our country, they're in other countries, and we've got to do counter-terrorism to get them. And so, you know, this is the emperor has no clothes, folks. Your chance of getting killed by a terrorist statistically is 1 in 20 million, which is the same probability of being killed by your living room furniture, which is way less than, you know, a bee sting or a shark bite or, you know, lightning or whatever. And they've managed to sell this institutionally. So now, again, the United States economy is harnessed to this absurd prospect that we've got to go get the terrorists. But in fact, the government is the terrorist. The government and the Anglo-American Alliance plus Israel carried out 9/11, and this then became the pretext for all these wars of aggression in the Middle East that benefit only Israel and the oil companies. And, you know, just scripted by the Project for a New American Century, largely Jewish neoconservatives staffing that. So we've had several coups in the United States. You know this, Andy, better than anybody, going back to 1913 and the Federal Reserve Act, which was, you know, European Jewish bankers that basically took over the American economy and have been basically running it ever since. Then we had, of course, the National Security Act of 1947, which gave this private group of bankers their own private army, the CIA and others. And then we had the assassination of Kennedy, which Michael Collins Piper points out is probably largely due to, you know, Israel, as well as, you know, the CIA and other top, you know, criminals in the United States. No one was ever prosecuted who did that. Likewise, 9/11. So we've had a series of coups, you know, that followed infiltrations. And okay, your next big question is very, very pertinent, very important. I listened to F. William Engdahl on the political scene. He's written a number of books. You know, the Anglo-American Alliance is one, and he's written the Last Hegemon. You know, talking about terrorism. Well, you know, this whole, I go on and on about terrorism, but what he says is basically Trump's job is going to be to get the United States into a nuclear war with Russia in the next 3 or 4 years. And that this, of course, is building on, you know, CFR policy, Council on Foreign Relations. CFR, of course, the American extension of the Royal Institute of International Affairs out of out of England, which of course is run by the Rothschilds. You know, so basically there are lines of, you know, there's a command and control structure that runs the world, and you know the Rothschilds are at the apex, and the Jewish financial power. And then they're supported, of course, by all the Sionim, the secret agents, blah, 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 and all the corporatocracy and, you know, the Tavistock Institute, and it goes on and on. But yeah, I mean, Engdahl says we've got to have a nuclear war with Russia. Well, they hate Russia. They've always, the Jewish bankers have always hated Russia, the czars and whatnot. And of course they still hate Russia. It seems like Putin is kind of favoring the Orthodox Christians again, and gives them a chance to, you know, have a big, big enemy and have a big destructive nuclear war. So that would certainly wipe out a lot of people, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. Who knows exactly how that would play out? And then, of course, this directed energy weapons can be used. You know, Nikola Tesla invented, you know, these kinds of things over 100 years ago. And the Tesla technology of, you know, electromagnetic spectrum being used and manipulated, it can be used for good purposes, for free energy, by the way. But, of course, it's been weaponized by the military secretly, mostly since World War II. And the military is 50, 60, 70 years ahead of the rest of us. So we can, you know, we can speculate forever and ever about some of these things. It's highly classified. But we know a lot about, you know, the various electronic weapons, you know, microwaves, millimeter waves, lasers, acoustic weapons, infrasound, ultrasound, and what they do. And the various frequencies, you know, can target specific organs of the body. They can create specific effects within the individual. So individuals and groups can be targeted throughout the world now, you know, with these weapons. And this, I think, is the goal. Probably to use these on the people of the world to reduce the world population, as you mentioned. So in that sense, we TIs, and I put myself in that category because, you know, as I've been doing this research, I realized that, oh, hey, I'm I'm being stalked, you know, I hear this funny ringing in my ear all the time, you know, and once in a while I get these weird symptoms, you know, and then I look up what these weapons can do, and they're just pretty much like my symptoms. And so, you know, we who are, you know, already in the program, if you want, maybe on the terrorist watch list, domestic enemies, you know, who might influence others, we have a special incentive for trying to understand this, because it's self-defense for us. I mean, we're in a war, and war has been declared upon us by you know, this unknown entity. And we got to know pretty quick, know your enemy. That's what Sun Tzu said in The Art of War 2,000 some years ago. And this is a very, very clever form of warfare. And that's why I'm spending all my time on this website. And so between the nuclear weapons and the electronic weapons, you know, Tesla said, I can destroy the Earth with low enough frequencies, you know, I can crack it in two, you know, so, and he invented the death ray back in, you know, over 100 years ago, you know, which could take out, completely kind of vaporize airplane engines at a distance of 250 miles. So, and he wanted to give free energy to the world from Wardenclyffe in Manhattan. And they actually built a tower with J.P. Morgan's money during World War One, and then they tore it down. Because J.P. Morgan says, hey, if you can, you know, if you can't put a meter on it, you know, and if I can't make money on it, I'm not interested in this project. J.P. Morgan, of course, being a Rothschild agent in America. So, yeah, you know, we're talking about the eugenics program of the Rockefellers, which predates Hitler, and Hitler got a lot of his ideas from them. We're talking about the Illuminati families, you know, this Jewish secret society that goes back to Bavaria, 1776, and their plan to take over the world. And they've been working on it feverishly since then. It calls for the destruction of all nation states, all religion, all the family, private property, patriotism, the monarchy, so that there are no impediments to Jewish hegemony, the Jewish world empire, Jewish utopia. They've written books about the Jewish utopia. And Tex Mars, of course, has quoted so many of the rabbis who are getting their cues from the Talmud, which is, of course, the commentary of past rabbis. It's the religion of teachings of men, the traditions of men that Jesus, cautioned about in the strongest language. Said, ye are of your father, the devil, and his lusts ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies, blah, 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 blah. Well, the serpent people then are the Jews. They actually are. And it's a very, very difficult realization to come to, because most of us know, you know, Jews that seem like nice people. Well, Jesus pretty much nailed it over 2,000 years ago, and he stood up to them. And but you won't find any preachers or priests talking about this from the pulpit, you know, about the synagogue of Satan. Ye are, you know, those who say they are Jews and are not Jews and are of the synagogue of Satan. But please read the Bible, and Jesus says it, you know, in the strongest language. So again, you know, if the churches aren't on board with with the very basic teachings of Christianity, well, there's something wrong with those churches. And of course, they've been infiltrated as well. A little while ago, I came up with a little mnemonic device, not a very good one, ACAE, ICEA. This is how they operate: infiltrate, contaminate, appropriate, eliminate. This is what they do with institutions. And this is what Tex Mars was talking about this. You know, they work as kind of bees, bees, hive mind kind of thing. You know, they're collectivists. They work, again, for their collective interest. They want all the wealth of the world, blah, 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 blah. This is all laid out. They are the people of the book. So, you know, you can go read their writings. You can find out exactly what they want to do, and by golly, they're doing it. And as you say, it's their kind of occult belief that if you tell the people what you're going to do, and they don't resist it, then, you know, it's their own fault, and you go ahead and do it and not reap any, you know, negative consequences. Well, again, they're Satanists. They're occultists. They are, you know, they're God. Believe it or not, is the serpent. You know, he's supposed to help them. And then, you know, then they're supposed to get all the world's wealth. And there's so many documents, you know, and Marx was a Satanist Jew, and, you know, Lenin, Trotsky, all these big figures, you know, that have killed so many people, you know, the pattern becomes clear. And a great book by Hugh Aikens, Synagogue Rising. He's a traditional Catholic, pre-Vatican II Catholic, says all the great revolutions, fomented by these guys, the English Revolution of the 1600s, the American and French Revolution in the 1700s, the Russian Revolution early 1900s, and then the Vatican II takeover of the Catholic Church in 1965 by this pernicious Jewish influence. So, you know, guys, I differ with guys like Michael Collins Piper, who says, they really have us by the neck. Our best hope is that the Jews will decide not to go ahead and take over the world. He actually says that at the end of his book, The New Babylon, which I cited earlier, Inside the Rothschild Emperor. Well, that's ridiculous. The Jews' God is Satan. Satan's not going to change his mind. So we have to follow guys like Tex Mars, who says, hey, it's our job to stay, you know, stay clean ourselves and to resist this and tear it down. He says, here's what he says. Whatever we do, we must make sure that we are in God's will. We must follow his lead, or else we shall find ultimate victory outside our grasp. But if we obey God, and if under his guidance we employ the weapons of faith and perseverance, we will prevail. We can and will rise up and defeat this ruling elite, the tyrannical and alien Jewish minority and their disgusting renegade puppets, the 545, and there he's referring to all our congressmen and senators, as well as our president and our 9 Supreme Court members in the United States. That is our struggle, not simply to escape from the jaws of the serpent, but to deal that serpent from hell a final death blow. That's my job, Andy, and that's your job. And it's our job to try to get as many people as we can to wake up to this and join us in this epic struggle.
Yes, I agree. And I think that the difficulty that we have, and I think the listeners feel this as well, somewhat impotent, you know, what are we actually doing? What have we actually got? Because essentially, it is in their occult teachings that if they can put information out somewhere, you know, and it's up to us to find it. But of course, it's such an unlevel playing field because they control all the mainstream media. And we've got situations now, guests I've had on my shows that have spoken out publicly against the Jews, and they're being prosecuted for what they've said about them, which is basically true. They're trying to put through this global definition of anti-Semitism now, and so they've got England to adopt the definition. I think Austria have adopted it too. And so that basically says, well, people need to look it up to get the full details. But, you know, if you say that the Jews run the banking system or the media, or you criticise Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, all this sort of stuff, that is all provable. Oh, you've committed this gross act of anti-Semitism, and it's now just a case of the respective countries deciding what the punishment is for telling the truth about the Jews. So it really does look like an unwinnable situation when they've got all this control. But as we know, I think our greatest weapon is in the information that we put out there. And once you get the information out there and more people learn about it, then we've got a chance against these people. And from my point of view, I think that's why they're coming after Facebook and they're coming after YouTube. And incidentally, Tex's book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, was one of the ones that was banned by Amazon at the same time as my book back on March the 9th of this year, which was the start of the Jews' Purim holiday, funnily enough, on that day. So a very interesting day they chose to do that. And I've got another quote, actually, because, I mean, we know this has been going on for years, but of course you look at Trump's cabinet at the moment and it's just getting more and more ridiculous, the amount of Jews he's got in there. There's all this talk of President Kushner, and he certainly seems to have an undue level of influence for some unelected official who's his son-in-law, all these ties to these elite Jewish groups and ties to Soros and all sorts. But in 2001, on October the 3rd, Ariel Sharon, who was Israeli Prime Minister at the time, he said the following: every time we do something, you tell me America will do this and will do that. I want to tell you something very clear. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it. Now, we know that right back to that time and beyond, they've been getting their $3 billion a year aid from America. And they're like a first world nation in the Middle East. So why would America be giving them, a first world nation, $3 billion in aid? It just goes to show the whole thing is just a giant Jewish scam. It's been set up by them to funnel money to them. When you look at the camps that you described, the FEMA camps, we know that they're just literally an area with a load of barbed wire around the outside. And it reminds me of the camps that the Jews set up for the Germans after World War II, that Eisenhower basically starved all these Germans in with no toilets or anything. They were just herded into fields surrounded by barbed wire and left to cope with the elements and what have you. Isn't it an eerie similarity between the two camps, do you think, Eric?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking about the most vile and brutal form of racism on the planet. You know, the Nazis got the reputation for being, you know, white supremacists. Well, you know, even whatever that was, and I'm sure there was some, it pales in comparison with the Jewish supremacism. You know, their religion tells them that, you know, they are of God and everybody else is of the devil. And that, as Menachem Begin said, you know, a million Palestinian lives is not equal in value to one Jewish fingernail. I mean, they say these kinds of outrageous things. They believe that they really, and their Talmud tells them that they're really the only human beings. Everyone else is a beast or a, you know, cattle or an insect or whatever. And the rabbis, you know, very studiously study the Talmud, and this is what they teach the modern Jews. And and there are statements, you know, like, well, we can't tell the Gentiles, the Goyim, you know, what is really in the Talmud, you know, because then they'd kill us. So they actually have, you know, in there says, you know, if anybody who reveals the secrets of the Talmud, you know, we will kill them. Well, there's so much, you know, death and torture and destruction in the Talmud directed against the Gentiles. Most people can't even imagine it. I mean, it's just again, we're all, you know, kind of ignorant about these things until we educate ourselves. And so therefore, it's incumbent upon us to educate ourselves with books like yours. And again, Tex Mars and Michael Collins Piper's and Mark M. Rich's and Marshall Thomas and many, many others. And that's why on my websites, I have, you know, long, long lists of books that I've read. So I'm not really so much... I'm just really a compiler of information and a basic mathematician in the sense, oh gosh, 2 + 2, yeah, it still equals 4. You know, this looks like the covert, you know, New World Order, civil military police army that's being formed here, even as they go after these people on the terrorist watch list. You know, and of course, all that's bogus because terrorism is coming from the major governments. You know, terrorism is simply, you know, violence that's created for a political purpose, and the greatest terrorists by far are the governments, in order to intimidate their own people, and of course and subdue and suppress their own people, and this whole program of organized stalking, it's very much, it is terrorism against individuals, and it's going to have a chilling effect on the populations. People are going to be scrambling to stay off those lists, and they're going to be willing to sacrifice their neighbor in order to survive. This is what happened during the Vietnam War to the Vietnamese when the CIA gave quotas of 1,400 Vietnamese civilians every month back in the late 60s, and then the U.S. Army go out and kill them. And that, you know, then that, good job, boys. And Lieutenant Calley and the My Lai massacre was one of, you know, that was business as usual. And, you know, our own Secretary of State, John Kerry, a presidential candidate, as well as Bob Kerry, the senator from Nebraska. These guys were involved in the Phoenix program in Vietnam when they were soldiers. They were out there massacring women and children in Vietnam. And it was all suppressed, mostly, except for one guy who was a helicopter pilot in the services who stopped to pick up the Cali's platoon there, and he wouldn't let it go. He reported it, so that got in the news, and then the whole trial of Lieutenant Calley for, you know, just, you know, blowing away 200 people in this little Vietnamese village. Well, that was policy. That's what the CIA and the military were ordered to do. Well, at some point, you know, we're responsible for what we do. And I would just like to really to mention just briefly the greatest flaw that I see in human nature. It was brought up and highlighted in the Stanley Milgram experiment of the 1960s, which perhaps you're familiar with, wherein, you know, they set the psychologist Stanley Milgram from Yale sets up an experiment or a scenario, and he does a test subject, and the test subject is asked to go into a room, and there's a guy with a white lab coat behind him, you know, and the test subject sits down, you know, there's a bunch of little knobs, and he's looking through a window at somebody down below who is supposed to, you know, be learning something, and his job then is to administer, you know, electroshock at different levels to this person if they get the wrong answer, and the test subject knows that this individual, or is told this individual, has a heart condition. You know, but then if they give the wrong answer, then the authority figure with the white lab coat tells this test subject, okay, zap him, you know, with 25, you know, volts or whatever. And, he missed it again, you know, 50 volts, you know, 100 volts. Well, 65% of the test subjects who thought, you know, they were helping administer this program, brought up the electrical levels to the point that would kill this person if it was a real situation. And other forms of the experiment show that that's correct. It's 65 to 90% of the population of the world will torture somebody to death or in situations where authority figures tell them to do it. Well, this is what the gang stalking program relies upon. You know, I'm FBI, ma'am, and, you know, I'll show you my badge. He may be FBI. He may not be FBI. You know, the FBI does it. So let's say he is FBI. We've got this person under surveillance. We think maybe he's a pedophile or she's a prostitute. We don't have enough evidence. Can you help us, you know, get evidence for this case? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I want to help my country, you know. So it's a complete lie. This person is a good citizen. This person hasn't been accused of any crime. This person may be a dissident or whatever, but they want to, you know, put him under surveillance, get him into this program, and, you know, and neutralize him, destroy him, you know, like Gloria Naylor. And And most people, the majority, will go along with that. And that's what the Milgram experiment proved. So at some point, human beings have to take responsibility and say, wait a minute, you know, who are you? They actually have a YouTube of a guy farmer's market in California. You know, the guy comes along, and this is being filmed. A guy with a badge says, that lady in there, you know, with her stroller and her child, you know, we have evidence that she kidnapped that child. Would you kindly go in there and take the baby from the mother? And this young father, you know, wants to be a good guy. You know, he's 30 years old. Say, yeah, gosh, you know, this is a criminal. You know, so he goes in there and he grabs the stroller from the woman, takes it out away, and steals the baby. You know, well, of course, the guy posing as FBI was lying, and they got this guy on film, and a woman's freaking out, you know, who took my baby, you know, and I want my baby. I mean, this is what's going on. We have a nation of dupes, and I'm sure the Jews are laughing all the way. You know, look at the stupid stuff we got them to do now. You know, they're putting us at each other's throats. They're having us kill each other. Yeah, our soldiers, our policemen, our civilians, our neighborhood watch people. You know, if you see it, report it, you know, a suspicious activity, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the neighborhood watch is the core of this whole civil military operation. You know, get kids to spy on their neighbors, you know. Well, we're just being played like fools.
It is a sick satisfaction that they get. You see, they don't just want to destroy us. They're like a cat that gets hold of a mouse. It doesn't want to kill the mouse straight away. It wants to have a bit of fun with it. And it's a bit upset in the end when it finally dies because its plaything has gone. And that's what they're doing. They put out all these tattoos, for example. And, you know, I mean, I've got friends that I've interviewed on this program who've got tattoos, but they're men. They've got them, you know, how men sometimes get them. They've got a couple. But we've got these women getting tattoos all over their body. Women shouldn't be having tattoos, surely. You know, you associated tattoos with, I've got a tattoo in the Navy. You know, this sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? And maybe I'm too traditional. But my point is when you look at people today and they cover themselves in all this stuff, what I say to people is, you know, if you wouldn't be wearing something from the, you know, the 70s today. You know, you'd feel a bit, maybe if you're walking around in big flared trousers or something like that, flared pants, you call jeans, you know, in America. My point is that fashions change. I remember when these tattoos were coming in the UK and it was really good to have a Celtic ring round your upper arm, round your arm just below the shoulder, and then suddenly that became out of date, and then it was sort of barbed wire going round, and now it's like a whole arm covered in tattoos and what have you. You can't just change your skin, folks, you know. But they get people to believe that this is a good thing to do, even though people themselves will have seen older men with tattoos and they're just a faded blurry mess when they see them when they're older, but they do that to themselves. They've got piercings going all through their face, their lips, their eyebrows, their noses. They've got these things that they put that make their earlobes massive, that, you know, it's just, and these Jews must be looking at these people that they get to do that, these white race people, and just thinking, they just do anything. We just put it out in our media and make out that it's somehow trendy, and they do it. They just can't believe how dumb we are, that we're literally abusing our own bodies. And not to mention what the dyes and that. I've heard all sorts of stories of problems people have had with the ink in the tattoos and what, because what they're putting in and what damage they could cause. But it's just, it's just amazing. It really is. And it's all down to the media.
Power of propaganda.
Yeah, and media control. This is the thing. When you're not allowed to have a media that's not owned by Jews, you're not.
Right.
Okay? And people say, well, 96% of the media is owned by these Jewish organizations. Okay, well, you try setting up a right-wing media. You try setting up a media that talks about the Talmud, that talks, it'll be destroyed. The people, if they can't close it down, they'll kill you. Okay? It's as simple as that. People like myself seem to be tolerated because I'm regarded as small, a minor irritation. But you try getting someone to put millions of pounds, millions of dollars into an organisation for 1 year to print newspapers, to distribute them in all the major US cities, things like that, you'd have all sorts of problems. Oh, you wouldn't be able to distribute them. Oh, why not? Because the distribution arms are owned by these people. Oh, you wouldn't be able to sell them in this town because the officials in this town, they think it's anti-Semitic. Oh, we're going to have to lock the publisher up because he's being anti-Semitic. And we'll, you know, all these things would happen. The word wouldn't get out. And this is why we're in such a precarious position. And it is just such an unfair position to be. But then as Jesus Christ, I mean, you mentioned, Eric, he said, and you're right, the churches that are supposed to be Christian churches, I mean, they call themselves Judeo-Christian. What does that mean? An alliance between the people who killed Christ and Christians, you know? Because that's right, basically that's right. And Jesus Christ said himself in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, when he was talking to the Jews. And so people can say, well, how many Jews? One Jew, two Jews? Well, no, you correlate it, because of course the book of John, the book of Mark, the book of Luke and the book of Matthew are basically accounts of their experiences with Jesus Christ. And when you correlate this with book chapter 7, I believe it's verse 3 or 4, book of Mark, he says who Jesus was speaking to at that time, and it was the Pharisees and all the Jews. And then when they crucified him, they said, let his blood be on us and our children, i.e. all the Jews. And the Jews promote social cohesion, or racial cohesion rather, for themselves, but diversity for everybody else. So again, we're their cattle. They're taking everything that we had that was good. They're taking our identity by promoting all the race mixing. They're getting us to wipe ourselves out. Another thing that they're falling about laughing over when they see all these white women going off and having children with black men and thinking it's somehow a good thing that they've essentially killed their pure racial lineage that goes back thousands of years. That, you know, they've got so many great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, but they're the first one that mixed with an African. And they don't see how awful that is, what they've done to actually break that ancestral chain of keep it of a white race. And of course, your duty, you look at any animals. I mean, I saw a film, March of the Penguins. And you get these penguins and they go off walking in terrible conditions, 70 miles there and back, just to have one egg. And sometimes the egg breaks and they lose and all this, but they do it because their job is to keep their race going. What do? We do everything to destroy ourselves. We have less intellectual ability than animals now, because at least they know how to survive and how to reproduce so they can actually serve their own race. Sorry, I've gone all around the moon on that one, but I'll hand back to you.
I think that's a great point. That's a great point. You know, I would bring it back a little bit to the gangstalking here, and you know, we're talking about the Talmud as being the basis for this world takeover program. The Talmud says, you know, when our Messiah comes, every Jew will have 2,800 Gentile slaves. Okay, that's what is planned is slavery and or genocide. People are worrying about Sharia law of the Muslims. Don't worry about Sharia law. Don't worry about Muslim terrorists. That's all a sham and a fraud. Worry about Israeli terrorism. Israel has gotten military secrets from our military and military technology before our own military people do. For a long time, Tex Mars will attest to that. He was in the Air Force as an officer. And this whole, you know, Muslim versus Christian thing is to get us to kill each other off. This, you know, and the Jews are going to take everything else, you know. They're going to clean up the pieces. Well, that was kind of foretold by an article in a book written by Samuel P. Huntington called Clash of Civilizations in 82 and 86, I believe, respectively. And Well, Huntington's with the CFR, which, of course, again, takes its cues from the RIIA, which takes its cues from the Rothschild Jewish influence. And so that then becomes the, you know, the roadmap for the future for America, American military and political operatives. So, yeah, they intend when their Messiah comes. Now, who's the Messiah? Well, you know, there's a lot written about that. Tex Myers has a new book called The Destroyer. And he goes through the Bible. He does a fascinating job of putting geopolitics, you know, and military knowledge together with biblical prophecy. And I've gotten a lot out of listening to his Power of Prophecy programs. And he's, you know, he says that the Jews, and he quotes Jews as saying that we shall be our own Messiah, that, you know, the Jewish people will have all the wealth of the world and we shall be our own Messiah. And the serpent is our Messiah. And we, this is a kind of a mystical craziness. The serpent will usher in our, you know, our kingdom, our Jewish utopia for us. Then we're going to have this big feast of the beast. We'll eat the serpent and, you know, we'll be gods. And so, yeah, the whole point is that they live forever and they're gods on the earth, just like, you know, Adam and Eve and the serpent. You know, the thing is that they think the serpent is, you know, their best friend and they want to take that deal. You know, we want to be gods and we want to live forever and we're special and we're the chosen people. Harold Rosenthal said it in 1976. He's, you know, he was a Jewish Senate aide for Jacob Javits, the senator. And in an interview, he said, most Jews don't like to admit it, but the God we worship is Lucifer. And he said, and Lucifer is very much alive and we are his chosen people. I mean, there are so many confessions by these Jews. If you start to look into it, that you could fill umpteen books with, you know, their own words forecasting this Jewish utopia, this Jewish supremacy thing, where they're going to own all the wealth of the world and enslave and or kill the rest of us. So we have to put it in this larger context, what's going on with gang stalking. Now, I think the Talmud says somewhere in there, and our Messiah will come without any opposition. Well, maybe that's what the directed energy weapons and the gang stalking are all for. You know, like you and I are opposing this, and I'm sure many, many others are. Well, we can now take them out with these silent weapons and this program. So, you know, in other words, we're going to make this prophecy come true that, you know, the world's going to be ours and we're the Messiah and, you know, we're going to own it all and we're gods and blah, blah, blah. And there's not going to be any opposition. Why? Because we're going to wipe them out, you know.
Yes, and I think on a secular level, it does become a hopeless task to try and overcome this, because as I've had guests on, you know, that are going through legal difficulties because they've challenged these people. And it seems whenever you try to challenge them, then they'll try and imprison you, or they'll do the gang stalking that Dr. Karlstrom's talking about. But I'd like to, you know, my final contribution to the show is really, we went in a direction I found quite interesting today, and Eric brought up a lot of the Bible, and Jesus Christ himself told you who these people are. And so the noble thing is to do all you can to fight them. Now, I don't advocate people go commit acts of violence and end up in jail. I don't advocate that at all, because why should they suffer? For the rest of us, why should there be these martyrs? We need to wake each other up collectively. And the other thing is for those of you who, you know, may not believe in the Bible, etc. I heard another presenter a while ago, a friend of mine, Pastor Dan Johns, and he said, if you believe in it and it turns out that it's all not true and it's all fables, then what have you lost? But if you don't believe in it and it turns out that it is true, then you've lost the ability to have that salvation. And I honestly feel that it is true. And I believe that there is a God, and I believe that the white race were created from Adam and Eve. I'm not going to go all down that line now. And I do believe that you've got this war on this planet between the children of Satan, the children of God, which are the white race, Adam and Eve side, and the children of Satan, which are the Jews. And these Jews using everything that they can against us. And why wouldn't they? Because they know that they're in a war. And the problem that we've got is we don't know that that war is going on. And that's why we're doing all the things that we do, all the things that I mentioned earlier about defacing our bodies, etc., etc. It's all down to them, because it's their media that promotes it. You know? So I'd like to hand back to you now, Eric, for any other comments that you'd like to make before we close the show. And also, can you go through your main website again on the gang stalking subject so that people can write that down?
Yeah, well, you know, I really appreciate this show, Andy, and what you're doing. I think this is a particularly important subject and a particularly important show because we've tied together these subjects. My websites that are pertinent here especially are the gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which I've, again, been working on since last fall and which has now gotten pretty big with lots of posts as well as, you know, YouTubes of previous shows I've done and other people as well. And 911nwo.com, which has been going, I've been working on that for probably 15 years now. And so the gang stalking site comes really is an outgrowth of that, as well as naturalclimatechange.org, San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, and my own music website, ericcarlstrom.com. And I think that we really have hit the nail on the head, and this is so politically incorrect that you're really not allowed to say these things. And however, if you don't say them, then we're all just like chickens with our heads cut off. We don't know what's going on. And this is what's going on with the people who are targeted individuals. They, you know, by design, they're not supposed to know what's happening to them, who's attacking them. All they know is their lives are going south very quickly. The goals of the program are to get people out of their homes, out of their jobs, out of their relationships, get them on the street where they can really work on them, and destroy these people. And I don't know. I think it's hard to say exactly how many people are in this program. This is a highly secret program. I'd say probably there are millions worldwide that are being targeted, and again, they're also being used as test subjects for these weapons. Universities are involved in studying the effects, the bio effects of these weapons on these people, just as universities were involved in the MK Ultra experiments in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and onward of the CIA. So nothing really has changed except that our government is doing this step-by-step process towards complete lockdown of a worldwide global police state. And now, you know, this is in control of these individuals, and it's in fulfillment of the, you know, the Bavarian Illuminati's a plan of 1776 outlined for the Rothschilds by Adam Weishaupt. These documents are out there. You can read about them in encyclopedias. Communist Manifesto is a repeat, you know, of this basic plan, as is the protocols of the Elders of Zion, as are the other protocols that are out there. And again, the commentary of the rabbis. So it's just, you know, it's a open and shut case. I mean, this is airtight if you plan, if you're willing to look into it. If you want to keep your head in the ground and your head in the sand, well, you know, then you get what you get, you know, which is, you know, what part of your body is exposed. You know, you get you're just a tool and a toy for the cats who are in fact Satan's children. And that's hard for people to wrap their mind around. But Satan is their God. They are they have made an allegiance. You know, Jesus was offered the same deal in the desert. You know, bow down and worship me, said Satan, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus said, get out of here. You know, no way. But these people have taken the deal. And this is the world we live in. And I thank you so much, Andy, for your efforts and the ability to talk about these things.
I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Eric. Fantastic to have you back on the show. And you know you're welcome to come back any time. And I'm just going to close off for the listeners. Just one point here. 1917, the Russian Revolution. This was, at that point, the greatest amount of white Christians that these Jews had ever wiped out. They were just absolutely loving it and went on for years. You know, 60 million, some people say. Some people say more than that. Were killed by these Bolshevik Jews. What year are we in now? 2017. You know how much they loved their anniversaries, do you honestly think that they're going to let this year pass without doing something heinous towards us? So I've got no evidence on it, folks. I've got no, well, apart from I've had obviously David Mead coming on talking about the Planet X phenomenon, which he gave the date, I think it was October the 23rd as impact. But the most important thing is you've got to keep your eyes open and keep the faith, because if we all die tomorrow, folks, we want to be going to the right place. So I do urge everybody to look into themselves, have a think about what we've discussed today. And I want to thank you all for listening. I'll be back with you all soon, and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.